At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. We're here to continue our expectations series today. Tonight, we're going to talk about Malik Ham, the outside linebacker, Derrick Henry, of course, the new running back in town. And joining us to do that is Sarah Ellison. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. It's been a minute. I'm so used to co-hosting with Bobby now. Good to be back in the vibe of Film Study, just a different vibe. And I love being here. Thanks for having me on. Okay.
Well, always appreciate having you, not only a very fine analyst, one of those passionate people about the Ravens, and definitely someone who I always look to for interesting information about the team. So I appreciate what you do. Let's jump in right now and talk about Malik Ham, who's in his second year now. Coming off a year where he spent it on IR, he's an interesting story and one that's very pertinent to the way the Ravens manage the end of the roster, the fringe of it. They put him on the roster at the end of the camp, make room for him by handshake deal, because they immediately IR'd him. But by putting him on the roster, it wasn't a season-ending IR. Something has changed in the rules, by the way, this year.
Yes, it has. We noted that on our show, and I was like, we got to know this from when we do our roster prediction.
There you go.
We announced it.
Yeah, it's very important. So he was on IR most of the year, but then got DTR'd for his three-week window beginning in week 14. Now, what that really meant to the Ravens was, well, we've got some extra DTRs to use, and why don't we have an insurance policy for our outside linebacker group? Right. Malik Ham was it. Nobody got hurt, and he reverted at the end of that period to season-ending IR after week 16.
Right. I think you're right in that they had enough DTRs to go ahead and use it. That being said, I still think it was kind of a compliment to Malik Ham when you're leading the league in sacks. You're absolutely leading the league in sacks, and yet you're still toying with this window to potentially bring you back. So while it wasn't a 100% vote of confidence from Malik Ham, I still think it was somewhat of a compliment to even try to give him the DTR. But he is intriguing, even if it weren't for that, simply because he was an undrafted free agent, right? Mm-hmm. Or an undrafted rookie free agent. And he was one of those. I think the Ravens 19 of the last 20 years have added an undrafted rookie free agent. I think though last year there was two, right? It was him and Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah.
So there were two. And Keaton, we all know how well he did. Too bad he got injured. But the fact that I just love looking at these undrafted guys, because it clearly means they're playing above expectations. They've caught the eye of scouts and coaches. And what I also liked, we haven't seen a lot of them, but me personally, since I wasn't at a training camp every day, I was just out there the one day I saw you out there. Mm-hmm. In the preseason, I believe he had 60 snaps and 11 of them were coverage snaps. So yeah. I like that he can play that Sam role. I still don't know. I mean, Tyus Bowser's already gone. Van Noy can play that Sam role. He's done it all of his life, but recent comments make it sound like he kind of just wants to go and hunt down the quarterback. He wants to be able to keep those sack numbers up. And so I'm happy to know that there might be a Sam outside linebacker developing there in this core, because I just don't feel like there's another one quite there yet.
Last year, you did Vince Beagle, who was, for other reasons, you did Vince Beagle as well. But Vince Beagle, an outside linebacker who had had a chance to be a Sam linebacker stick for the Ravens, but an interesting choice. Ham is one of those guys who goes exactly by the golden rule, which is you never know who the Sam linebackers are by actual coverage drops in college. He had zero coverage drops his first four seasons in college. They needed him too much as a pass rusher, incredibly productive pass rusher at Lafayette College in the Patriot League. You know, so by the way, that's another good thing is DaCosta has still found a way to use some of that small school scouting to get somebody useful for the team, even if he didn't draft him, as they have done with some key players in the past, obviously. But he had 40 coverage snaps in his final season. You mentioned the 11 preseason snaps. That was very significant to me. And it was clearly something where the Ravens were trying to see if he could handle those coverage responsibilities at the NFL level. It was going to be a big thing. And I think he came through.
I was going to ask you, what did your film study tell you on those 11? You liked it then?
Yep. Absolutely.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I was pretty much at the end of the point. I do have another to make, though, about his college play that goes with this, is that in 5 years there, he had an outstanding pressure rate. That was one thing. The other thing he really had, and this is a number of ratio I look at more and more this year, inside and outside linebackers both is very important. It's important to safety also. But how many stops did he have relative to his number of missed tackles? Now, stop is a defensive win where you tackle a guy short of the line of expected gain, or the line of keep up with the sticks gain, we'll call it. So on third or fourth
down, where is that line?
It's 40% of the yards on first down, 60% of the remaining yards on second down, and you have to get the first down on either third or fourth down.
Oh, that's cool. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great numbers. It's a Football Outsiders definition. It's been around for 25 plus years, I'd say. Okay. But it's a good one. And its success rate is for running backs uses exactly that. So I'm going to be coming back to that in the Derrick Henry discussion as we talk about that. But 80 stops and 10 missed tackles in his 5 years at Lafayette. I mean, he was too good for that league.
Yeah. Well, that kind of lets you know why he was the Patriot League's defensive player of the year, right? Yep. Like that's part of it. And he led his team with 32 sacks. Obviously that's not like in the SEC, you know, but neither was Matt Judon coming out of Grand Valley State, you know? So, it certainly can translate when you just have uber production, at a smaller school. I mean, that's certainly something to give somebody a chance. And then he ran with his chance for sure. Also in the preseason, I love that he had that forced fumble. Yeah. In Washington against a running back. I thought he just punched the ball out perfectly, landed right in the right spot where the Ravens could return it. They didn't go all the way to the house, but had a pretty good return on it. And so, you know, it's just a nice glimpse. The other thing is, you know, we're talking about defense, of course. But I think his real role, pending making the roster again, would have to start in special teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And a player like that who's on the edge of the roster, if he wants to fit the Ravens mold, he just needs to look around at the past Ravens who've been survivors. Doesn't have to look any further than Malik Harrison, who basically plays the same position as him. He plays the Sam linebacker role in the base defense. And he plays, you know, a five unit special teams role where he's also the captain of all special teams. At least I expect that to be the case this season. If he looks at him and sees, hey, that's a way to survive in the NFL, I think that is the path for him. And I think he's got to look at trying to be on as many units as possible and make himself valuable there.
Also, like one more thing at outside linebacker on defense, I may have switched over to special teams too soon, but I was watching a film breakdown by Cole Jackson, who I'm sure you've had on the show, who does lots of film breakdown. And again, it was just from the preseason because that's all that we had. But what I also liked about Malik was that he had he didn't have just like one go-to move when he was rushing the quarterback. Like Cole was able to point out like four or five different moves. Not that he got a sack every time; he only came up with one sack. But where he'd either get the pressure or the hit or anything like anything you can do to disrupt the quarterback is awesome. I mean, we know that because that's what everybody always says about Odafe Owe, though we would like him to finish more often. So I like that he had a versatile tool set in order to rush in, and then also had that coverage ability.
And, you know, that doesn't always happen with a small school player because they can get by on their athleticism when right. they're that much ahead of the rest of the league. And you know, his pressure numbers are just off the charts in terms of what he did at Lafayette. And he didn't always pick up a ton of sacks. I think he might have had a high of, I don't want to say because I'm not looking at it right now. It might have been 9 or 10 sacks was his high in college. But it wasn't, you know, 16 or something. Mm-hmm. But he had a ton of pressures. And that you know, is something that he could have gotten that probably if he were just a great bull rusher. But I agree, he does other things. We saw a spin move. We saw a good bull rush. He's got a fairly good dip move. Don't know how much I saw in the way of really bend, which is probably one of the reasons why he wasn't highly sought after by a lot of teams or even drafted. But he, you know, he's a guy who can get his shoulder under the outside arm of an unathletic tackle at least, and hopefully make some trouble. So I think he's an exciting player. I don't think you can go a lot by what happened in the second half of preseason games as a pass rusher as much as you can really look at those coverage snaps and say, wow, that's really good. It's, you know, if he knows where to be in the right place, if he's, you know, forces a quarterback to bring down the football even, not throw the ball to his man, that's a good thing. It could be a screen pass recognition, could be multiple things, but the coverage snaps really for me were the icing on the cake that said the Ravens were really considering him for a role on the team.
And I'll be interested to see. I mean, since he was basically healthy for most of the season, right? It'll be interesting. It's kind of like Voorhees, where, you know, he was in the weight room forever, but he was rehabbing a more serious injury, right? Mm-hmm. So what has Malik Ham been doing with basically a red shirt freshman year, right? And as much as we saw in that rookie preseason and training camp, enough to get him onto the 53-man roster and to be, you know, initially, enough to where they wanted to keep him and not let him be vulnerable to other teams. Where will he be now a year later? And since I wasn't out there for OTAs, and plus they didn't have on the pads anyway, I'm very interested to see how much he's grown this last year.
Yeah, the sand is that is an important consideration for Ham, is that a little bit of sand has run through the hourglass, which reduces his value to the Ravens because he's a second year player. So if you have a first and a second year player and you have a choice between them that you have to make, he has more value. Ajabo is the other player who was in that position because of a completely lost year, really reduced his value to the Ravens. And, you know, unfortunately, if the Ravens had it to do over at this point, they would not have drafted Ajabo. You know, if they had the choice to go back and change that pick, they'd put it in for Pickens or somebody else and make do with that. But Pickens was the guy a lot of people on the draft show wanted, by the way.
Well, here's a question for you. Obviously, this is off topic from Malik Ham, but I did read the report where Voorhees, his first year didn't count as a year of eligibility. So that'll start this year. Was the same true for Ojabo's first year, or did he get in? I can't remember if he ever made it to the field.
So he played 21 snaps and got on, had a forced fumble at the end of the year. And there were some things to like about that. And the fact that he didn't lose the year completely developmentally was kind of nice. I think he was inactive a couple times. I think he might have been practicing for as much as 8 weeks, maybe at the second half of the year. So it was not an insignificant amount. And then, then he finally got on the field and got a few snaps in, might have been that final game against Cincinnati in 22. Yeah, I think that was it. Okay. He had about 20 snaps or so, and it's the first time they really had room to get him into the lineup. And I forget who they were sitting at that point. Might have been, you know, Justin Houston or somebody like that. They sat in that final game.
This is rough for Ojabo, obviously, for his career, but also rough for the Ravens because they've lost 2 years of eligibility.
Contract.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all okay. So let's move on. Malik Ham, what's a good season for Malik Ham this year?
I think a good season is making good versus great. Great. Okay. So good, I think, would be making the 53 again, but this time for real. And carving out a role on special teams.
Okay.
a regular role where he would be activated because they want him on special teams. I think that would be almost great. I'm borderline almost talking great, but I'll put that at good for him.
I'm a little lower than you. I said provides insurance for a fairly deep outside linebacker group. And it really is. They got about six guys right now. There will be injuries. They may decide they don't need somebody, but it's a pretty deep group. But he has the specialized skill potentially as the reserve Sam outside linebacker at the top of the practice squad. I hope the Ravens would keep him. I don't really have a lot of faith that that would happen. I think he'd be in danger of being the kind of player some other team would take a chance on if the Ravens cut him. Elevated 1 to 3 games. When he plays, he's filling a hole, perhaps for Harrison. So he plays some base outside linebacker Sam, as well as some special teams. He does nothing to dissuade the Ravens as to the potential as a Sam. I'm going to get into the great season, a little bit better definition of that. But this is just, he doesn't do anything terrible. He's not wildly out of position. He doesn't make a bunch of mistakes that say, this guy's not a Sam anymore, because that would really reduce his value greatly. And that, I think, is the key to his future, whether it's in Baltimore or anywhere else in the NFL, is whether or not he can actually pick up that Sam role.
I like it. I like it. I thought mine might have been a little bit high. I like where you have yours.
Okay. How about a great season?
A great season. Great season would be that, like, either through injury or just outplaying somebody, he becomes a factor on defense and is able to. I'm trying to think, because we're talking about Malik Harrison in the same role. But I think somehow he gets the opportunity, whether he outplays Harrison or Harrison gets injured, and then Ham gets the opportunity to show with, like, in real snaps that he is somebody that could handle some of that Sam linebacker role and becomes a factor on defense. So in the good, it's more of a factor on special teams. The great becomes you're a factor on defense at the Sam role.
I like that. And I like the fact that you're identifying what a fair number of other people have, is that there's a good season for the player, maybe really a bad situation for the Ravens that he tries to help them get partially out of. You know, usually you're replacing, hope to get a league average level of play out of a player like Ham, say, at outside linebacker, replacing what you hope is a very good player. Not necessarily, we're not talking about Harrison necessarily, but it could be Van Noy, who goes down and they need a Sam linebacker. So I think there's multiple people who could get hurt that would make Ham more important. Harrison might be the most important, because I think they have more of a one-for-one relationship in terms of what they could do. But if Van Noy were hurt, I think they'd have to consider Ham as one of the real possibilities. Wouldn't necessarily mean he gets a big pass rush role. The third one I'll give you is Roquan. And why is the reason that Roquan and he would be a replacement? The reason
Harrison would move inside.
Harrison would probably have to move to Mike.
But don't put that energy in the air, Ken, with Roquan getting hurt. Don't do that.
No, it's all about insurance policies here. That's all we're talking about in terms of a player like Malik Ham. But I'll tell you what I said on his great season. He's activated the roster at some point during the season, plays 4+ games, not simply elevations, plugs a key defensive hole at either rotational outside linebacker or base Sam, makes a couple of splash plays that portend well for 2025. Sam traits are evident. Does nothing to dissuade the Ravens, but okay. Sam traits are evident. Okay. Takes on a broader special teams role, including participation in at least 3 units. So I think he's got to make it via special teams somehow, and that may be undershooting it. Harrison's on 5 units. Maybe he could be on 4 units, both return and coverage of kicks and punts might be reasonable for him.
I feel like that's a great season. Feels low to be great, but I hear you. I hear you. I don't know. When I hear great, maybe we should have a phenomenal as the next level. Yeah.
Define great however you will. And I've been open with people. I have a good season at the 60th percentile and a great season at the 80th percentile of what I think the reasonable range of outcomes is. So if there's a, I think, you know, I when I'm writing it, I actively think about that. So anyway, but I do understand a lot of people who do feel things, or they're more are like, does that really seem like a great season?
Yeah. No, but I get you. I get you on it. Real quick before we move on to Derrick Henry, and it's just because I don't get to talk to you very often, and I hope I'm not spoiling any of your other episodes. could you give me, I'm just curious what your thoughts are of what you expect from Ojabo and Odafe this year?
Let's see. Actually, why don't I bring it up and then I'll have it, I'll read it out at the end of the Henry thing.
Okay.
But
okay.
We did both those episodes already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I'll have that ready to go. Okay. So Derrick Henry, biggest unrestricted free agent signing for the Ravens other than Matabike, and he's the biggest one that's external, obviously. He's 30 now. He lists at 6'3", 247. We had Melissa Kim on to do an episode the other night, and she said, "You're a lot bigger than when I covered you at Alabama." And I don't think of this with Melissa Kim because, you know, she's a young lady and I'm, you know, just not in touch with people's ages, obviously. But she was already, you know, a professional reporter covering Derrick Henry when he was a college player.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he was very large then, but he's in his grown man body now. Yeah. And I say this on my show all the time. There is a difference. Like, and I say this when I'm talking about Nate Wiggins, like he is not in his grown man body yet. He's just not there yet. There's grown man strength once you hit it. And Derek, I'm sure, always looked like a grown man among boys, but he hadn't hit his grown man body yet, I'm sure, at Alabama. And he certainly is there now. The combination of size and agility is mind-boggling to me in this human's body. I just don't know how it's possible. Like when I see him that first day when he came out of the tunnel in OTAs and he was walking out next to Roquan, and I've stood next to personally plenty of running backs, mm-hmm. and they're always thick, but I'm usually taller than them. I'm like very close to 5'10". I'm just under 5'10". Like I was much taller than Ray Rice. Like running backs aren't always the tallest. I just saw Mark Ingram at the Super Bowl, gave him a hug. He was built. I mean, I don't think he must've been 0% body fat even in retirement. Okay. But we were eye to eye, right? Cause that's what running backs are. If I saw Derrick Henry and didn't know him, and he told me that he played football, I would have guessed he was an outside linebacker.
Edge rusher, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like to me, he looks like a more muscular version of Suggs, right? Like that. I mean, that's what he looks like to me. He's huge. So then when he and Roquan are walking out together, I'm like, this just isn't normal for a running back to be as big as linebackers. And no wonder he's a bully. Like, no wonder. I mean, he gets the defensive backs and it's over. But like even linebackers, I'm sure they do not want to see a full steam ahead of Derrick Henry coming at them. They're used to tackling smaller dudes. I mean, it's unreal. It's unreal what he has physically.
Now, there are, I think, very legitimate reasons why the Derrick Henry move was not a good one. There's other good reasons why it could really work out. And I will say this, if Derrick Henry stays healthy the whole year, it is really going to work out. It is really going to work out because a lot of things condition-wise are better than it was. But he led the league in carries for the fourth time in five seasons, yet had a career low 4.2 yards per carry. His success rate was only 46% on carries. In fact, it's been 46% combined for the last 3 years. Now, that goes back to this Football Outsiders thing, is what percentage of his runs end up in an offensive win where they basically kept up with the sticks? His percentage, 46%. We are spoiled as hell in this town, but we just lost Gus Edwards, who is a career 57.4% success rate and also is the greatest in NFL history in that category. It's surprising that maybe that would be correct. That data does not go all the way back. It goes into the mid 90s, I think, for collecting that information. But it's still, remarkable that Gus is the guy. And the Ravens running backs overall last year, I believe, were at 54%. So way ahead of where Henry was. Now, that said, there were some differences in terms of the offensive line they were playing behind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously I didn't follow Tennessee week to week as we are, neck deep in Ravens coverage, both of us. But yes, I think that not only was it offensive line play inferior in Tennessee last year, but there really was no threat at the quarterback position. And I'm not even just talking as in running, like Derrick Henry certainly was the guy where defensive coordinators say, if you stop Derrick Henry, we're going to win the game. And when you put Derrick in this offense, you certainly are going to have defensive coordinators saying, we got to slow him. But it's not like if we stop him, we win, because there's still Lamar and there's still, you know, so many different weapons. I read a stat today on my show from Warren Sharp talking about how spoiled we've been, getting to your point there. It talks about in 2023, the number of times teams were stopped for no gain in short yardage situations. Mm-hmm. Ravens were dead last on the list at 10% of the time. And so you add Derek to that, and we're just, again, if he's healthy the whole time, it's an embarrassment of riches to put that together.
We are making an assumption with that statement. And I'm not doubting, by the way, that it ends up being that way, but I really hope we don't have to revisit that statement you just made, because, you know, they're putting Derrick Henry into a situation with three new offensive linemen. So Linderbaum's still there, pretty good run blocker under the right outstanding run blocker under the right circumstances. But they need to have those two big men at guard come through for this team with solid seasons. And I think there's a good chance both will. I think that run blocking right tackle will take a hit with Rosengarten. He will not be as good as Moses, because Moses was just terrific in pulls and getting a level two and in blocking in space, which he's just much better. And hopefully Ronnie Stanley has a healthy season and Linderbaum doesn't take a step back. I think it could be a year of consolidated gains for Linderbaum, because his gains, particularly in the pass blocking, were so extraordinary. But as a run blocker, I would hope, you know, most of what the Ravens will be this year hinges on how good Voorhees and Cleveland are relative to Simpson and Zeitler last year. And it's not a gimme that they're going to clear that bar.
Well, you're the person that grades offensive linemen literally every single snap. So I'm happy to defer to you on this. My feeling was the Ravens didn't lose on the offensive line an irreplaceable guy, right? It's not like, holy crap, we have to replace Yonda. Like, we're not at that level. To me, I keep getting them mixed
Zeitler.
Up. Zeitler was, but he obviously was injured. So I'm talking 2023 alone, not like the Zeitler who has been healthy and was,
right.
I thought he was phenomenal his first 2 years and even his final year. But again, he was injured. And then we basically had Moses with one arm, right? Mm-hmm. And then Simpson, left at the left guard position, certainly played well. That's why he won it over other people, but nearly lost his career before resurrecting it here. So I guess what I'm saying is while I don't know what's to come, I also don't feel like the three guys that the Ravens lost was something that's like, there's nobody that can replace that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I can't project what Voorhees is going to be. But do I think it's reasonable to think that he could replace Simpson? I do think it could be reasonable.
That's very reasonable.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So then can Ben Cleveland, who did replace an injured Zeitler, I'm not talking about the healthy Zeitler. I'm talking about 2023, where we pulled these stats from with being the lowest or the best in the league at not being stopped short. Is it reasonable to think that Cleveland, he's the floor to me? Because if somebody else beats Cleveland, we know what Cleveland is. We've had him in Baltimore for 3 years. We know what he is. So we know the floor, but the ceiling could be better if somebody beats him out. And so the floor rotated with Zeitler and got those stats for us last year. And Moses was playing with one arm. He said as much when he went to the Jets. And so to me, I know those guys in their careers, but the 2023 version, I think reasonably optimistic that can at least be not week one, but can be matched by, say, midseason.
For the season. I'll give you my percentages on that because I don't want to drag this topic out. I'd say Voorhees has about a 65 to 70% chance to be better than John Simpson was last year. Simpson had some real problems with penalties. So I think Voorhees' chance, even as a rookie, I think his chance is pretty damn good. I think that Cleveland's chance to be better than Zeitler, who made a Pro Bowl despite having an off year for him, is probably in the 40 to 50% range. Not, it's even an injured Zeitler. I think Cleveland is going to have trouble. He has enough inconsistencies in his game, particularly both as a pass blocker and a run blocker, that there could be problems there. The key for Cleveland is going to be, can he be a good pass blocker at the NFL level? He was in college, and so far we haven't really seen it so far at the NFL level. And then at right tackle, I think the chance is actually quite slim that Rosengarten will be as good as Moses was this last year. Moses was the best of the Ravens tackles, and it wasn't close. Mm. He was a lot better than McCary. McCary was a lot better than Stanley. 77, 70, and 63 in terms of raw scores for the season. So, and Falele not even on the chart, although he did play better in the last few games. I think aggregate play at right tackle is highly likely to drop. And you know, it's
so
just
you're most concerned about right tackle.
Yeah, most concerned about right tackle. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So they got they've got a guy. That's something. Let's move on. I had one stat to say about Henry, that he had 3.32 yards after contact per attempt. But that meant, given he ran for 4.2 yards per carry, that his average contact was 0.9 yards past the line of scrimmage, 0.9. So remember that number. By comparison, Gus Edwards was only 2.71 yards after contact per attempt, but was hit on average 1.4 yards past the line of scrimmage. So if you're right, and the Ravens offensive line does not drop off in any significant way, which would be fantastic, then Henry stands to gain about a half a yard per carry, just in terms of point of first contact. And all yards are not created equal, because if he gets to the second level and his first contact is from a linebacker instead of a defensive lineman, it's a much different story in terms of his likelihood of breaking that tackle. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
Love that. Love to hear all of that. That all stands on the if of what we laid out, right? As you stated. And by the way, I think it's smart. There's no way like all three positions are going to be the same or better. Maybe that's not really, maybe that's a little too optimistic. So, and I also saw a stat the other day that even in 2023, Derrick Henry, I believe, had the most, broke the most tackles.
He was, let's see, what do we have? He is fifth in broken tackles by PFF. He did it in the most carries in the league, by the way, but still terrific rate of missed tackles. The guys who really break a ton of tackles are one, Keaton Mitchell, and two, both of the guys on Pittsburgh. They had a ton of missed tackles forced this last year. And so in terms of rate stats, they were all ahead of them. There were some other guys who had more, and they were obviously was in less carries, but his missed tackle rate is still excellent. So no problem there. I had this down. Oh, here it is. His missed tackles forced 57 was fourth in the entire league as an aggregate total. Had a lot more at bats to do it.
Do you have a percentage in mind? So with running backs historically, you never see the cliff coming, and that's why it's a cliff, right? Yeah. It's just like, it's not the steady decline. Do you have any sort of stats on the chances of Derrick Henry hitting that cliff in 2024?
I don't have any statistic on it. I will say Henry's play has been in decline, even though he's continued to lead the league in carries and has been doing well. His success rate has been dropping. His yards per carry have been dropping. Some of it has been what's the situation around him, but Derrick Henry's been the man in Tennessee for so long. It's, you know, since 2019, that covers the entire 5-year period that I'd be likely talking about. They haven't had a ton of other weapons to go with him.
Right. I'm looking at it right now. His yards per attempt in 2020, it was where he peaked, 5.4.
Yep.
Now I believe he had some injuries, but it went 4.3 back to 4.4. And then last year, 4.2.
Right. Yeah. In the last 3 years, if you look at that success rate, if you're looking at the Pro Football Reference numbers,
I am,
you can see he's averaged 46% over those last 3 years. And that's just not very good. It doesn't compare to the Ravens, and some of it is probably situational. And again, I think it all comes down to, can he be healthy? Because if he can be healthy, he'll be great. He did do one thing extraordinarily well last year. Otherwise, it needs to be mentioned, zero fumbles. There were 12 players with 100-plus carries who had zero. And he obviously had the most carries in the entire league and had zero. The year before, he had six. So
that's
cutting
crazy.
That is a really good thing. He probably worked very hard on that, honestly, holding the ball high and tight, just learning to carry the ball a little bit better after a big fumble year.
Man, to have the most carries in the NFL and have zero fumbles. Yep. There's no Harbaugh doghouse. I think you'll have a longer leash than most guys, but yeah, that'll help. That will help. Yeah. Well, so then looking at the success rate, do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Like, what do you think would be a reasonable success rate next year?
I've got it in my goods and greats. So how about I not spoil that? But it's in there. But I think it should be better with Lamar. It should definitely be better. All the Ravens running backs, who are some pedestrian is not the wrong word. Gus Edwards is a good back. Hill was an effective back. Mitchell is potentially a great back. Who, you know, unfortunately, I hope we haven't derailed his whole career with this injury. But those guys, none of them are as spectacular a back at the top end as Jamal Lewis or Derrick Henry. So, potentially, Derrick Henry, if he can beat Father Time for yet another year, could have an enormous year in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he could. Okay. Well, one last question before we get to the goods and greats, and sorry to, I always like to turn it around and ask you questions.
love it.
But your mind is so different from anybody else I talk to. So I'm just like, when I have Ken, I'm going to ask him questions. I know I'm the guest, but we're going to flip this around here. My question is, okay, so when the Ravens, I guess I have two questions. I've got two questions. When you said that there were some reasons it wasn't a great signing, did any of it have to do with money? Because people were calling me cheap on my show.
Yes.
I thought they paid more than I thought they would have to, but that happened league-wide, so maybe it was kind of forced. And so people were calling me cheap. I was like, hold your ground, and everybody was freaking out because other running backs were being signed. And then finally it was the Ravens and Derek. But I thought $5 million, well, listen, if he goes and rushes for 1,000 or 1,200, maybe we're being nitpicky. But I thought $5 million per year was a bit much for a running back.
Yeah, he's signed for 2 years, $16 million. So it's $9 million in cap charges.
Oh, I'm thinking of the cap hit. This first
year. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, the cap hit's only $5 million, but they're paying another $4 million next year for this year's play. And then if they keep him next year, it's another $7 million. So it'll be a lot of money if it comes out, and it'll be worth it if it comes out. Now, the question is, would you rather have Jadeveon Clowney with also a guy who's beyond 30 and you could predict a drop off from, and he certainly had a career year last year. Or would you rather have Derrick Henry? And the costs were very similar. I think actually Clowney went 2 years for $20 million to Carolina, but maybe he would have come back here for a little less. And I don't think that the argument is lost anyway by the difference of $4 million, because to me, I'd have certainly rather had Clowney. I think he has a much bigger impact on your team. And I think there's other running backs who can give you what Henry does, with the main question being, how much does Derrick Henry at the mesh point improve your run game when Lamar Jackson is already the other guy at the mesh point? So
just to be clear, you're not like downplaying Derrick. You're saying when you already have Lamar and you put X running back here, and X running back can get you here, and Derek's just getting you slightly above, was it worth that much more money? Is what you're and it costing you somebody like Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they would have had to pay for the running backs they signed, whether they re-signed Gus Edwards or they'd gone, you know, to another. And Gus Edwards is an older back too, so it's not an obvious choice. He's got tread wear, he's got injuries to look back on. So there were reasons why Gus Edwards might not have been the right guy. If you look at what running backs have succeeded in this Baltimore system, it's pretty much everybody who wasn't a geriatric back. The guys who haven't succeeded are the guys they brought in at the end of their careers, who are 28 plus years old. And
right,
Derrick Henry's clearing that bar with room to spare. So I have other positive things to say about, by the way, Derrick. It's just the age and tread wear that kind of have breaking their own rules in regard to this.
Right. Well, it's interesting because sometimes you get, you find comfort when the team does well in a category the year before. So I remember everybody was nervous about pass rush, and then the Ravens go out and lead the league in sacks. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you're not worried anymore. And you're like, oh, they'll be fine over there. Forgetting that Clowney had a big part in that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I personally hadn't put it as a one-to-one to Clowney, because I do feel like since Mark Ingram left, Eric DaCosta and the Ravens have been trying to replicate what Lamar and Mark Ingram had. And they tried to do it with J.K. Dobbins, but he just kept getting injured, right? And then mm-hmm. Gus wasn't quite that guy, although he obviously was massive in what he does, right? In being this bulldozer, but there just hasn't been like this, you know, both Lamar and Mark Ingram rushed for like 1,200 that year. I mean, it was crazy. I can see my camera's frozen. I'm sure it will unfreeze in a second. I don't know why it always puts that thumbs up there.
I can hear you fine.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad my voice is still there. But if Derrick Henry can replicate what they did with Mark Ingram, which was also a guy that they got towards the end of his career, then it's like, yeah, it was worth it, you know, because Lamar just hasn't had somebody. They've always relied on Lamar helping the running backs, but why not bring a running back that can help Lamar? And I obviously that's the vision, and you hope that that's what they can accomplish.
I think it's modestly unfair to say they didn't try and do that. They obviously tried to do it with Dobbins, and you mentioned he got hurt.
Yeah,
they did it with Edwards. I mean, Edwards, for my book, probably is pretty close to a Ring of Honor player for the Ravens. In terms of his per snap productivity, there really isn't anybody. There's very few players in league history who really hold up to what he did. And he did it under favorable circumstances with Jackson, with an offensive line. I hear the same argument made to downplay Bob Gibson's 112 ERA in 1968. Well, he played for a great defensive team and nobody in the league was hitting and yada, yada. Well, yeah, and he had a 112 ERA. He's got the highest success rate in the history of the National Football League. And it's worth taking on as face value. Yes, he did it under some very positive circumstances, but it's way ahead of what Derrick Henry produced. And I think it's I can't say that Mark Ingram is the only back that worked out for the Ravens. Mark Ingram worked out for 1 year, and he didn't work out for the year after that.
I just don't think it's the same. I don't want to downplay Gus, but his peak was 810 yards. And there were always people injured in front of him. It wasn't the Mark Ingram effect, I don't think. And I'm not saying the Ravens, I just think that they try to do it with JK. JK would have been more that guy. Maybe even Keaton, again, a different back. But and maybe it's because they didn't use Gus Edwards enough. Maybe they didn't give him the chance to. But I just don't think Gus had the same impact as Mark Ingram that year in 2019.
Okay, I would disagree with that. And in particular, if you look at Gus, I'm not going to say that Gus had any single year that was necessarily as great as Ingram 2019. But Gus's, you know,
but that's my point though. That's what they're missing, that single year of doing it all year long. He for sure, listen, his yards per attempt through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm saying maybe it was that they didn't give him enough chances.
Or they did what they do to basically every Ravens potential receiver or ball carrier and reduce the chances to the point where there's not a bunch of negative marginal chances. The only guy who gets a lot of negative marginal attempts who has in recent years is Mark Andrews. He gets the ball too much such that he's getting too many contested targets and too many, you know, things that are hurting him on the side. The first time it didn't happen was this last year, and all of a sudden tight end production is through the roof with 140 passer rating throwing to tight ends, with the targets reduced from 195 to 110 from this area. But there's everybody wants, you know, yardage out of receivers, yardage out of running backs, everybody to do well. I mean, it's a very balanced offense. It's not an offense that throws the ball particularly much because they win games and they lead and you run to finish games. It's not an offense that, you know, relies on any one back to do it, even though right. Gus Edwards, more than anybody, was the guy who helped them close out games during these last 5 years.
Oh, and close out drives for sure with 13 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I know you've got another show to get to. Can we go to good and great here pretty quickly? And then I think that'll hit on some of the other items I had for Henry that are there. What's a good for you?
A good season. I don't think you can get out of this season and say it was good if Henry isn't healthy for, geez, at least 13 games. He's got to be healthy for the vast majority of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he got nicked up here and there, you know, it's fine, but I feel like a good season would be healthy for at least 13, 14 games. A good season would be that he puts together the vision that I kind of outlined, which is that he takes pressure off of Lamar. Mm-hmm. And just as Lamar will take pressure off of him, I think they will have that symbiotic kind of relationship where they're both looking to not be the only guy that people have their eyes, you know, on the entire time. And I think a good year would be, if we're talking yardage, which I know you just poo-pooed. I just lost where he was at the last few years. I guess I deleted it there. I think a good year would be around 900 to 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think that's very reasonable, and I'm not too far off, I don't think. Good season. I said 15-plus games, and if I look at his career, he's only played less than 15 one time. So I think playing 15 games should be in the 60th percentile. So that's how I'm going through this thought process. I put that in. I want his yards per carry to go up to at least 4.4. That would certainly buck a trend in terms of where he's headed career-wise. But on the other hand, he's coming to a better situation, we hope.
Yeah.
So not even if the offensive line holds up. I want him to, at the 60th percentile, he's at 4.4 yards per carry. And a success rate of 51%. That's a bump of 5 points. I think it's there to be had with better scheme, with Lamar as his primary foil.
What'd you say the success rate? 50 what?
51 for a good season. Yeah. Nice. It was 54 for all Ravens backs last year, all Ravens backs combined.
Okay.
He was 46.
Yeah.
So I think 51% is actually kind of conservative on that rate. I wanted to see if I have 240 plus carries. Ravens should run the ball a lot. You know, if I think that Monken said if he has 300 carries, they are having a great year. I think 240 with some of the division of workload that I expect to be less on him in Baltimore because they have Ali and they have Hill and they have others. I think 240 is a reasonable or more. I want to see him have gravitational impact on the inside linebackers, create more read steps walking towards him that create better play action opportunities, and in particular for the tight ends, because that's where a lot of the Ravens' strength is on this. So getting the tight ends between the safety and the linebackers because of the Derrick Henry and Lamar relationship would be one of the really cool things to watch. I want him to improve Lamar's success as a runner as well. Even if it's at a small level, I want him to continue to be an able pass blocker. Didn't talk about that. Derrick Henry's one of the best pass blocking in our running backs in the entire league. There's no reason why he can't stay on the field on third down. And that's regardless of any contributions as a receiver. He's been good at times in the past as a receiver. He was very bad in 2023. And the biggest thing about coming out of a good season is that the Ravens don't question his value for the 2025 season. He could actually have differences in ways. Maybe he's at 50% success, but there's some other things like scores a lot of touchdowns in short yardage or does other things that have real value for the Ravens. But they don't think twice about picking up the $7 million option for 25.
Love that. I love the last two points that you made as a pass blocker. I remember feeling like, was it Willis McGahee? I thought was very good at that back in the day. And I felt like, some of these younger guys haven't picked it up as well. I feel like Justice Hill did not do well. Was it the AFC Championship game?
Yeah.
That I was like, man, it would have helped if he had a running back there that could pick up these blitzers or delayed blitzes or could see it. So I love that you point that out. And I thought it was an excellent point to bring up that it's like, here's a good marker that you want that second year of the contract, and that you're not like, should we go ahead and cut him and just be like a 1 year ordeal like we had with OBJ, right? That it was like, man, that was a cool idea for fans, but really just didn't pan out. And you do not want that to be Derrick Henry.
Right.
And I don't think it will, by the way. I don't think it'll be as... I mean, even if you didn't re-sign him, I just imagine he'll be able to have more of an impact than OBJ did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're not paying him more, but they're probably paying him more relative to the positional cost, relative to the traditional cost. So,
right.
How about a great season? What does it look like?
Great season for Derrick Henry, that he is able to answer emphatically questions about being able to run out of shotgun, right? Or just at least not out of center, and transition smoothly to that. I think a great season would be that he plays all 17 games. In fact, I think it'd be nice if they could kind of even do what they try to do with OBJ, and OBJ was injured, but like, you know, slowly ramp him up into December, right? Where like, you're not trying to make him your bell cow in September and you're like, okay, let's start building up for December and then January. And then, you know, if we're super lucky, a February football, and is able to just, I think this is the biggest one, that he can become a bully in the playoffs. I had a segment on my show today that I branded "Make Baltimore Bullies Again," because I had listened to Travis Kelce talk on Bussin' with the Boys on the podcast there. And he talked about how much he relished playing the villain, going into other people's stadiums. And he's like, and Baltimore was the bullies. They were the bullies, but like, they brought Ray Lewis out. They brought Terrell Suggs out, but he like played that villain role. And he said he could feel how much people hated him and he relished. And I'm just like, I feel like Ravens have bullies on defense, especially Roquan Smith, but I need somebody in the postseason that has been there and can bully others the way he bullied the Ravens in the 2019/2020 playoffs.
Well, in the 20 playoffs, you and I did the defensive show after that. I was just going to mention Derrick Henry had, 17 carries and about 40 yards and zero first downs in that game.
So there was no stopping him.
Yeah. we don't want that guy. We do want the 2019 playoffs, Derrick.
Yes, yeah, yes, you're right. Because 2020, the Ravens got revenge. But in 2019/2020, because it was technically January, right, of 2020. Yeah. But no, it was that 2019 year that he just came in and the Ravens were coming in with feeling magical from 14-2. And Lamar was a full-time starter for the first time and he wins the MVP. And then Derrick comes in and just spoils everything. a great season, regardless of yards, and a great season yard wise and all that during the regular season. I'd say like 1200 yards, right? Like those 13, 14, 15 touchdowns would be great. But to me, what this is really about is, can we pack the running game with Derrick Henry and just smash people in cold weather football when necessary? That to me is a great year that he helps, like I said, take the spotlight off of Lamar a little bit, that they can do that for each other and just become this duo that finally gets over the hump. I think he was signed partially to be a hump to get over and get into the Super Bowl. And that to me would mark a great season in Baltimore.
If he makes the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what they paid him to get it there. That's certainly true. But I before I move on to my great season, I want to point this out. Sarah did what is one of the great film study episodes of all time, looking back at the defense after that 2020 playoff game. Because Maureen and I went to that game in Tennessee. It was during the pandemic, of course, limited seating. They just had sold, I don't know what, 10,000 tickets or something to the game, but we were all spread out within the stadium. And the interesting thing was we had to drive back 10 hours because we couldn't get back on a plane. Maybe we could have, but it would have been more difficult. It was right at the height of the pandemic. And so we decided to make the drive instead. So when I get back, we did our notes, but that was as far as I was prepared in doing the show with Sarah. And what we did is we just went through every single play defensively in order. And it was one of the best formats. I've tried to repeat it a few other times, but I just think that show with you is one of the best. And, you'll get the passion of Sarah. You could see like how she's looking at the game as you go through is very apparent from that. And I'd encourage people to go back and listen to that if you have an interest in just remembering that time that the Ravens really shut down Derrick Henry. Because their only first down in that game was actually Tannehill on a quarterback sneak. Their only rushing first down the whole game.
Right.
So that was
that's crazy, because I had done so many shows with you. I didn't know what you were referring to until you said we went through every single defensive snap, and I was like, oh, now I remember, because I remember the preparation going into that was next level. Yeah.
Well, very good. You did a great job with it. Let me go to the great season for Derrick Henry here. Plays in 16 plus games. I'm okay if he misses week 17 or week 18 because the Ravens already made the playoffs. So yeah, exactly. Yards per carry of 4.6 plus. I think it is still a possibility given at the 80th percentile, given that the Ravens are going to hopefully provide him with a better environment. Success rate of at least 53%. That's still below what the Ravens had from all their running backs this last year. I don't think that's outrageous at all. He fumbles no more than two times on the season, 6-0. If he came to two, that'd be fine. In addition to quality pass blocking, he returns to 7.5 yards per target. He's about 7.2 for his career. He was 9.7 in 22. He was 5.9 in 23. So it's a big difference there. And I think where that could really shine is it could include value on extended plays where he begins as a blocker. Now, think about that. Derrick Henry's in your backfield on third down. He makes a block for Lamar Jackson. Then he slips out. Lamar extends plays like nobody, of course, as we know. And Derrick Henry, remarkable guy if you can find him in space and then get an opportunity to run over or make other people miss in level two. So I think there's some opportunity there. I think he had 28 catches last year, by the way, only had seven first downs. So that's quite bad, even for a running back that don't have as high a percentage as some receivers. Next thing is that the use of the mesh with Jackson improves per play running of both players, as well as the play action game. Already had part of that was in the first thing, but I want to see now it improve the running for both players and the play action game. Mm-hmm. Hill, Ali, and Mitchell all have limited playing time because of his success. I think that'll be an indication that everything's going right. No need to hurry up Ali's development in some way or get Justice Hill in the field for more plays because Derrick Henry's doing his job. Passing offense takes a step forward in per play productivity from 2023 with Lamar and the receivers benefiting from the combination of Flowers attracting safety help over the top. I think they'll use Flowers more deep, more like their second half usage of him in this next year, and more effective play action with Henry and Lamar. They may not go all the way into the mesh, but even the forward-facing fakes we've seen from Lamar, particularly in the 2019 season, they didn't go all the way into the mesh and then pull it out and throw the football very often. But they even if they fake it, having Henry there as the fakie will create more opportunity against those linebackers who are going to have to overcommit to Henry, I would predict. And then the last thing is the Ravens benefit from his presence in the postseason with another trip to at least the AFC Championship game.
Okay. We need more than that, though. But yes, I think that would still I think that would still constitute a great season for Derrick Henry.
Okay.
That was good all stuff. Right. I like where your yards per carry was. Again, I liked you bringing up play action, bringing, you know, that to life. You know, breaking Lamar free, all that, all of it. I love it. Man, wouldn't it be nice to have a great season, Ken?
Yeah, Derrick it would
Henry.
Be.
From Derrick Henry,
and you know what? I take your one thing about hoist the Lombardi, and then I honestly, I don't care. He could rush for 400 yards. If they
yeah,
hoist Lombardi.
Seriously.
It's a great Ravens season.
if he makes a difference in the postseason, like the regular season, like literally, I don't care what else he did. Yeah. So.
Sarah, always a pleasure to have you on. One of my favorite guests, obviously, to talk football with anytime. I hope we get more of an opportunity this year. I know we're both very busy with our own shows. There's less chance for cross-pollination as there used to be in the past, but yeah. I hope we still get more of that. Had Bobby on recently. That was another fun time.
He told me about that. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, no, appreciate you having me on. Always, always, always love catching up with you. I just feel like people regurgitate takes often. And you don't, like, you come with your own. And so that's always like, I always like talking to you. So I appreciate you having me on. And I'm sorry that my camera froze for the last, 15 minutes or so. I don't know what happened.
We're not using the video for this, for anything that's but signaling okay. each other. So it's no
okay.
problem at all.
Okay.
Tell people about your show and where they can talk to you online if they want to talk football.
Yeah. So my show is The Vault, a podcast covering the Baltimore Ravens. We are live. We've changed our format. We go live every day, lunch hour, noon to one. And as we're talking, we try to interact, not nonstop, but we certainly try to interact with the audience. And then also I'm on Twitter at SG Ellison. Oh, and by the way, Ken, I have to say this coming up. So Bobby and I are taking the 4th of July week off. Both of us do. It's the only time of the year that we both take vacation at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so we've got some pre-recorded episodes. And about 2 weeks ago, I mentioned in passing this is different. I mentioned, who was it? So, it was the Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report said that the Ravens could come to regret Lamar Jackson's contract because he's prone to get injured. So what do you know? I broke out the old study you and I worked on that at the time, you know, it was, I appreciate you. You let me publish it on your website. I never got to speak to it personally. So we did an in-depth show and I brought back up your website. I pulled out my charts and studies. I talked about how you made sure that it was credible and so did my husband. And so it was just fun memories going back to that study to show that running quarterbacks are not injured more often than the average quarterback.
It was great to see you jump on an opportunity like that and really work with it. And the enthusiasm level extremely high, obviously, for that topic. And she went into all kinds of detail looking at running quarterbacks from the past and whatnot and versus pocket passers. And it's very well researched stuff. And by the way, that study is still out there on the Film Study website, yes. As is the episode where you and I talked about it originally. Mm-hmm. So
it's a 10-year sample size. So we thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Very good, Sarah. You mentioned your Twitter handle already. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film Study short, hit me up. DM's always open on Twitter. The thing I'm pimping now for, because it'll come up before camp, is the concerns series. So get back to me if you have a specific concern, and I mean specific, about the Baltimore Ravens in 2023. They don't have a second, another split field safety. It would be a common one. I think somebody might have that already, but anyway, that would be one. Or they don't have anybody to replace Roquan if something were to go wrong. Let's talk about that, you know, and then we can get into where would they actually look if they had to make changes there. But I'm really interested in hearing that. And I know we're all worry warts about what is a very good football team here, and we'll be able to find 10 different shows, I predict, on concerns about this team, much like we did last year anyway. But anyway, Sarah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken. Good to talk to you.
And we'll talk to you again next time on Film Study.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.